Welcome to Women Reconnecting, a show dedicated to helping women discover the missing link to wellness by taking listeners on a journey away from stress, fatigue, and overwhelm to a life they love. It's time to ascend from the daily stresses of life by reconnecting to your inner radiance so you can play full out and feel alive. With your host, the Reconnection Catalyst herself, Lisa Mizells. Welcome to the Women Reconnecting Show. This is your host, Lisa Mizells, founder of Femana, a company focused on women's wellness and empowerment. And it's never too late to start feeling more energized. Go ahead and boost your energy in less than 1 week by going to femana.com and getting your free rejuvenation kit. Today, I am super excited for this episode. I first became aware of my guest today, Sally Stone, after a friend talked about the award Sally won for her new book. And I was really intrigued when I read about it. So we connected and Sally sent me an autographed book. And from the first page, I've really been hooked. I mean, there's so many profound phrases in there. I just want to quote her book all the time. So today she's going to be talking a little bit about her book in the interview with us, titled Golden Words, Powerful Change, One Word at a Time. But first, let me tell you just a little bit about Dr. Sally Stone. Sally Stone is the award-winning author of Golden Words, the A to Z toolkit for changing your life one word at a time. Her book just came out at the end of last year, and to date, she's won 3 awards already. She developed the concept of golden words to describe positive words we activate in our lives using focused intention and hypnosis. Certified as both a hypnotist and a health coach, Sally helps her clients attain health, happiness, and life purpose goals using a body, mind, and spirit approach. Some of the positive results her clients have experienced include increased self-confidence and creativity, moving into flow and goal achievement, pain control, stress reduction, elimination of cravings, better sleep, trauma release, increased optimism, and well-being, the falling away of bad habits, a more relaxed perception of time, connections to their spiritual guides, alignment with their true self, and insights into their near-death experiences. Her customized programs combine golden words with hypnosis, health coaching, regressions, family constellations, and yoga techniques to facilitate lasting transformation. Sally trained with the National Guild of Hypnotists, the Wellness Institute for Regressions, the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, and Global Family Yoga. Her advanced certifications include medical hypnosis, pain control, caring for cancer patients and their caregivers, NLP techniques, and many others. She earned her master's and doctorate in education from the National Lewis University. After witnessing the energy of nature during her near-death experience, Sally took up nature photography with the aim of capturing the flow of spirit. Her photography has won several awards, including Audubon's Top 100 and a special mention from the Chicago Botanic Garden. That's awesome. Welcome, Dr. Sally.
Thank you, Lisa. It's so great to be here with you.
Yeah, what a great bio. Wow, it sounds like you've done so much in your life already.
Life is an amazing gift, and there's a lot of blessings to enjoy.
Yeah, well, I'm really, really excited for our listeners to hear a little bit more about your book. So tell us about your experience that actually was the inspiration for your book, Golden Words.
I'd love to talk about that. Some things we learn by accident, literally. Mm-hmm. And that's how I learned about golden words. In 2007, almost 10 years ago, I was in a bike accident, a bicycle. But 4 days before the accident, I had a prophetic dream that actually predicted the accident, though I didn't realize it at the time. The dream had 4 parts. First, I saw and I felt blood. It was very real, very tangible in my dream. And then I was lying in a bed, hearing screeching loud rock music, and my nervous system felt like it had been through a shredder. I was in horrific pain in my dream. And then I noticed this box, and it was lying next to my bed, and it had this volume control switch on it. And I turned it all the way down to zero, and I was suddenly lying in this cocoon of healing silence, and I felt completely healed and at peace. Wow. In the final part of the dream scene, I was running on a treadmill with my arms above my head in a victory stance, feeling extremely grateful that my body worked. So I woke up and I wrote this dream down because I journal my dreams, and I just couldn't make heads or tails of it because I was an athlete at the time and I was working out probably too much. And I was running on a treadmill, you know, like 4 or 5 days a week, and my body worked. So I couldn't figure out why I was so happy that my body worked. Anyway, I forgot about the dream. And then 4 days later, I was in this bike accident. And I had a near-death experience, really a really intense, life-changing near-death experience. And I described my NDE, my near-death experience, at length in my book. But I'd like to share a few highlights here that are relevant to my understanding of golden words and how that came to be.
Yeah.
So first of all, my accident happened at the edge of a forest preserve. And the first thing that I noticed and felt when I lifted out of my body was that nature was just pouring this unconditional loving energy. And that the earth was just breathing in and out. Like it was this living, breathing being full of just its own consciousness. Mm-hmm. And then I traveled to these different planes of existence. And on one of them, I met this light being who merged into my spirit body. And when this happened, this part of me that the cynicism and doubt that I carried around in my heart, I mean, my life was, I had a good life, but, you know, we all have challenges. And the cynicism and doubt that I carried around in myself was erased. And I felt such peace, such love, such ecstasy. I mean, we say those words, but they were so overwhelming and so pure that I did not want to go back. I just wanted to stay there.
I mean, were you afraid that you would lose that feeling? Or you weren't even there.
I wasn't even conscious of that. I just was in the moment wanting to stay there.
Perfect.
I just thought, yeah. But yeah, there was an awareness that my body was down there and that this conscious awareness that this light being had gifted me wasn't really me, but it had become me in that moment. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to go back. And what was really interesting about the communication in these planes of existence was that there were no words, and yet I could understand things. It wasn't like people's mouths were moving and words were coming out. It was like blocks of information. Mm-hmm. And so this light being understood that I didn't want to go back, and what I understood in return was that I had to go back to complete a lesson on love, unconditional love. And I pulled a quote to share that I'd like to read that the light being said to me, because these were not words that I could have written myself. She said, and I experienced her as a feminine energy, so I'm going to call her a she, even though it wasn't like there was any gender there. Mm-hmm. She said, "You'll find healing and love. Reclaim your innocence and experience compassion in the face of every facet of human nature. Experience the pure love of angels, eyes wide open, in light of terrible grief and profound joy. This is the wise innocence of unconditional love."
Wow.
And that wise innocence piece that, you know, our eyes are open and, yeah, there's terrible, horrific things that happen, and also profoundly joyous and beautiful things that happen. And holding those two pieces together and still keeping our hearts open was to me what I was supposed to go back and figure out how to do.
Yeah.
So I wondered how I was going to be able to do that, to go back to my broken body and my life, which had a lot of personal challenges at the time, and do this. And what I got was, again, this direction from the light being, and it was as if my awareness was shifted to see this incredible flock of what I call angel orbs, these like glowing orbs of light. And they were pure positive energy. They were like a symphony of positive feelings. Mm. And as I felt their vibration, I was just overwhelmed by joy and delight and whimsy and encouragement and support. I felt like I was being carried by this force of goodness. And this was who I was supposed to call on if I needed help back in my body. Call on these angels and they'll be there to help you.
Wow. Nice.
So I thought, yeah, I know. I thought, okay, I can go back now.
Yeah.
So I went back into my body, and unfortunately, I didn't heal normally. I developed a chronic pain disorder, and literally each part of my dream came true. So I saw blood when I was lying there, and I was discovered by some people. And then within a couple of weeks, I had developed this really harsh sound sensitivity where just even going into a store would set off like horrible headaches. But some friends took me to a musical, and I ran out of the musical because of the sounds of the people clapping their hands and the music and the singing. All the noise made my body I just felt like my nervous system was shredded. So I knew I was going to be okay because the dream was coming true, and the next part of the dream was this healing silence, and then I was running on the treadmill.
Yeah.
So as I lay there flat on my back for long periods of time with no respite from pain and unable to speak, eat, and really tolerate any sensory input, and I also had to continue working full-time to keep my insurance and my house and to feed myself. But I kept doing it because I knew I was going to be okay.
Yeah.
And one doctor even said to me, you're going to end up in a wheelchair and a morphine pump managing chronic pain.
Thanks.
Yeah, right. I'm like, okay, this is not what I need to hear.
Right.
So I knew this was wrong. And what I did was I shut all that out and just built this space inside myself where I knew everything was going to be okay. And one day, this was really a turning point for me. I was lying there in my self-made cocoon of silence, my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I remembered something that a meditation teacher had said to me many years earlier. She said, if you're going to think well of yourself. Think, I am worthy. I am beautiful. I am good. And I put this together with this angel energy, which honestly, I mean, I have to be truthful at times. It was really hard for me to access that energy. I was like, where's that positive feeling? I'm just feeling pain.
Right.
But I put it together with that, and I just really made this what one doctor who works with me, has worked with me, called the sacred space in myself, where that's how I talk to myself. I talk to myself using the words that an angel would use.
Mm-hmm.
What would an angel say to you? An angel would be compassionate. An angel would be consoling. An angel would be comforting. An angel would be soft. An angel would, would help you see the small joys and small things to be grateful for. So I spent a lot of time writing about my near-death experience in order to put that vibration into words and really take it in completely. And I learned how, instead of feeling limited, I learned how to really look right in front of me and find the beauty in all the small things that I could do and that I could see, from a little leaf lying on the sidewalk in the shape of a heart, to, you know, being able to reach up into my cabinet and get a plate. And building on those types of things really helped me live in the moment and pave my way to find the right people to work with that could help me. And then I also became a certified hypnotist. And in hypnosis, there's this emphasis on phrasing ideas using positive words. And I began learning about really my own positive words and the ones that really triggered me to feel good. And I learned how to do that with other people. And speaking to other people this way and speaking to myself this way, it was just really the best way to rebuild myself and my life in, I guess, what I call the trail of angels, you know, the wake of angels, because that's what I think, that's why we're here. We're here to find ourselves in their image. You know, we're here to be guided by them and to aspire to live in that vibration.
Yeah.
And when you, and the reason that I named them golden words is because I felt that people, including myself, had become so used to hearing the word positive that it didn't have any meaning anymore. Oh yeah, positive. Yeah, you should be positive.
Yeah, no, I love golden words.
But it, because it has this angelic vibration to me that was very golden.
Yeah.
And I wanted to reignite the idea of positive words by renaming them, because when you really do activate them in your life, they really do make you feel golden. They make your life shine. So that's a long story of how my book was inspired. And I owe it all to angels.
And it's really interesting that, you know, the whole experience brings you back to just in the moment right in front of you. That's what you need to learn, right? Just being.
Right. I get goosebumps when you repeat that. Yeah, because like one day I walked out of work to go to a meeting, and right there on the sidewalk were these two leaves, and they were just nestled together like friends. And I thought, wow, just right in front of us are all these beautiful messages reminding us of all the comforts and joys and support in our life. And we just have to open our eyes and look and not wish that we were somewhere else and not wish that life was different. That even in my accident, the gift of lying flat on my back was, I mean, it was so enormous to learn how to be in the now and to be so grateful for the small things in my life, for the two legs that I have that can take a walk through nature.
Yeah. It's like when you live in the past or you live in the future. I mean, we're busy, right? Everybody's busy. They've got their lives, and we're all doing that. We're worried about what might happen in the future. What, you know, I'm late. I'm going to do, you know, it's what's going to happen, and I should have done this and all of these things. And when you're in that kind of frenzy in your mind, you miss what life is about.
Exactly. Yeah. And I find that with people who, when I work with them with golden words, when people say things like, I can't relate to the words, or, you know, I can't really get it. Like, I can't feel it. And part of that is because they've lost the rhythm of themselves by getting caught up in that frenzy. Mm-hmm. They say, I don't have enough time to really feel the word or feel my life. But when people step back from that frenzy and realize that's just a culturally, socially created expectation, and breathe back into their own rhythm, get into their own quiet space, then they can get back in touch with that now. It's not as hard as it sounds.
And we're so worried about time, but time really, you know, when you are in the moment, time doesn't matter, and there's always time for the things that you want to do. I don't know. Totally get what you're saying. So give us an example of what is a golden word and how would you use it?
Well, can I do this demonstration with you?
Yeah.
With a golden word?
Okay. Yes.
I'd like to actually start by saying a little something about like a golden word and then the opposite of a golden word
Okay,
in
perfect.
terms of using them.
Yeah.
Words are creative. So, and they create our feelings and experiences. So if we think of the body, mind, spirit matrix as a first grader who experience things very literally, that's how we experience words. So for example, if you say to a first grader, "Don't slam the door," what does the first grader hear and do?
Don't slam
Yeah,
the door.
they hear slam the door,
Right, yeah.
right? So add to that that you literally feel what you're saying to yourself all the time. So even the word slam, you know, it has that harsh feeling to it. And that's why it's really important to phrase your self-talk in a positive manner, such as "please close the door gently." So if I tell you, "Lisa, don't be stressed," now what do you hear? Stressed, right?
Yeah.
So it's really important to monitor what we say to ourselves, our self-talk,
Yeah.
and because that's going on in our heads all day long, right?
Yeah, constant.
Yeah. So let's do a demonstration that's an example of this. And this comes from my book, from the letter O tool, One Word at a Time. This is one of my favorite demonstrations because it really goes to the power of one word. So do you want to try it with me?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, so do you know the SUDS scale, the Subjective Units of Discomfort, SUDS?
I don't. I
Okay.
just learned something new.
Oh, so SUDS is what they use, like a psychologist or a hypnotist or a doctor uses with somebody who is experiencing pain or anxiety. So the SUDS scale, Subjective Units of Discomfort, is usually used, the scale is usually 0 to 10, where 0 means completely relaxed, pain-free, and 10 would be this unbearable state of anxiety, pain, or overwhelm. So where would you say you are right now on a scale of 0 to 10?
Zero.
Yeah, grits, awesome. Okay, so you're 0. So now I just want you to take a deep breath in and say to yourself, "I am." And as you breathe out, you can say to yourself or out loud, "stressed."
Stressed. Yeah.
And then let's do this. We're going to do this 3 times. So just breathe in, "I am." And just breathe out, "stressed." And again, "I am stressed." So, yeah, so after repeating this phrase to yourself, where would you say you are on the SUDS scale?
Well, what I noticed immediately was I tensed up and I got contracted, so it was harder for me to breathe.
Yeah, your chest, did your chest tighten up?
Yeah,
Yeah, and your.
definitely. So I would have to say I definitely have some sort of anxiety right now.
Yeah, like a one or two.
Yeah, I would say
Yeah,
probably one or
yeah,
two.
yeah. So you started at 0. So I wasn't, and I'm not trying to stress you out, but sorry.
No, that's a good example.
Yeah, I just want to show you just even one word can bring up your stress level. So imagine if you're already in a state of anxiety, you know, you're already a 4 or 5 because you have a pre-existing pain or anxiety about something. Now you're bringing yourself up until, you know,
Yeah, and you just
right?
keep saying those words over and over in your head. Yeah.
Right? It starts to spin out a cycle of
Sure.
more words. So now I don't want to leave you that way,
Thank you.
right? So we're going to use another word and we're going to shift you back. I'm going to shift you back. So go ahead and take a breath in and say to yourself, "I am relaxed," as you breathe out. And again, on the in-breath, "I am." And the out-breath, "relaxed." And one more time, "I am." And on the out breath, relaxed.
Yeah. I'm relaxed.
And what did you notice this time?
Well, I noticed your voice. I mean, your voice is very, you've got that, the hypnosis background. So your voice is very calming. And so I think when, what I noticed for myself is when to observe that voice and to have that same sort of talk to myself, a gentle, relaxed tone that's very nurturing and loving is super helpful in getting you to that state.
Yeah, that's really an interesting point because you bring up the point of it's not just our self-talk that's important, but it's important how the people that we hang around with speak to us and the tone that they use.
Yeah.
Because we internalize the attitudes from other people about ourselves. And if they're not nice, then we have to build an even stronger space inside of ourselves on a constant basis to fight against that.
Yeah.
You know, to kind of armor ourselves against that. So that's a great point.
Yeah. Interesting.
When we did this with relaxed, I wondered if that made you think of anything, like visually or, you know, connected to anything.
Yeah, I'm like a feeling person, so I feel more than visualize.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, some people see like a place or memory comes up.
Mm-hmm.
When I do the stressed piece, some people, their to-do list pops up, you know, or other, you know, so it depends on what you just said, like the modality that you experience life in. And since you know that you're a feeling-oriented person, you just tapped right into the feeling.
Yeah.
So that's good to know about yourself.
That's great. I love this. And we are almost out of time, but I want to make sure that you have a minute here to talk about your second book that's coming out, The Golden Words Journal. What's that about?
Thank you. The Golden Words Journal is a companion journal to my book, and it is designed to assist you in putting golden words to use in a really comprehensive step-by-step process.
Mm.
So it includes the 2,000 golden words, 2,000 plus, 26 sets of journal pages where you can create mantras, affirmations, and prayers using the golden words. And there's a checklist and directions for creating the most effective types of mantras, affirmations, and prayers. There's a place to create your action steps, a place to brainstorm resources and ideas you need to succeed in those steps. There's a place to vision board if you're a visual person or if you like to make lists. There's a place to do that. And then you can track your results. You can make adjustments along the way. Because sometimes as we're moving along and creating feelings and experiences in our lives, we realize we maybe want to do, you know, shift a little bit what we originally intended. So there's a place to do that. And then there's a place to keep track of your progress until you are victorious.
Love that.
What I'm after is for people to feel victorious in creating their golden feelings and their golden lives.
And when is this book coming out?
My aim is to have it out in August.
Oh, great, because I want to get it. Yeah, because I'm reading through your book, and it's like a journal would be perfect to go along with that.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I hear you have a gift for our listeners that is related to the golden words.
Yes, I do. On my website, I have created a private page just for listeners of your radio show. And the URL is my website, www.drsallystone.com/ golden-words-gifts.
Yes.
And I know you're going to have the URL posted, so mm-hmm. no one has to backtrack to try and write that all down. But this free gift has, excuse me, several audio downloads, four audio downloads, plus a coupon if people are interested in either a single session or a series of hypnosis sessions. And you can check that out on my website as well, the kinds of packages and sessions that I offer.
Yeah.
And I think that along the way, because I create audio downloads regularly, I will continually add to that page so listeners can go back and find more downloads.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. This is going to be, yeah. So you can find all of Sally's information on Femana.com's website under the Women Reconnecting blog. And if you've enjoyed this Women Reconnecting show, then you can show us a little love by going to iTunes and giving us a review. And all reviews are welcome and appreciated. So Dr. Sally Stone, thank you so much for being here with us. I really had a great, great conversation with you. So everybody have a great day, and we'll talk next episode.
Thank you, Lisa.
You're welcome.
Listen to Women Reconnecting, the only show that talks about the missing link to wellness and fulfillment, with your host, the Reconnection Catalyst herself, Lisa Mizells, and her guests as they share what's working now to feel alive and fulfilled in life. Would you like to ascend from the daily stresses of life and discover how to stop merely existing and how to play full out so you can feel alive again? Listen as guests share simple tips to step up your wellness factor and excitement for living so you can create the life you want. This show is not intended to replace any medical advice from a licensed practitioner. Consult your doctor before trying something new.
And welcome to Women Reconnecting. This is your host, Lisa Mizells, founder of Femana. And today I have with me my guest, Tricia Mitchell. She's from the UK, and she's going to be talking about herself as the reluctant healer. Now, Tricia is a healer. She's a coach, and she helps women specifically really succeed in life, get through their hurdles, jump, you know, get through past the emotional blocks. Tricia and I have worked together a little bit in the past recently, and we've had a chance to talk a lot. And she's really intuitive, and she can get down to where those blocks are that are causing the patterns in your life that continue to happen. Like, have you ever had something that has happened over and over and you're wondering why it keeps happening? Well, these patterns that are showing up to show us that, you know, we need to change them. So that's the kind of thing that Tricia helps us with. And so welcome, Tricia.
Thank you, Lisa. Thanks for that introduction. I was just smiling as you were reading out my bio, because if we're honest with the listeners, we had an entirely different title that we were going with, and a completely different bio about me as a trainer, yes, working with the head, heart, and gut intelligences. And just to share with the listeners, what happened was that this call didn't work. Yes. Technology started to fail. And it ties in with the theme of me being a reluctant healer and still kind of hiding a little. Yes. And the way that I interpret that is a push from spirit, from the Lord, to say, you are here as a healer. This little talk is not going to happen. And so Lisa and I have had to just say, okay, I don't think we're supposed to be talking about this with your listeners today. Let's do what I'm here to do, which is talk about being a reluctant healer. And hopefully by sharing my story, I can help you to all start reconnecting or strengthening your connection with spirituality in whatever shape or form that comes to you.
Yes.
It's hilarious sometimes. I wouldn't have believed it. I wasn't one of those people who used to see dead people all the time and had imaginary friends. I don't remember anything like that, other than I remember being born at a time when we were in the last chapter, we were in Revelation, and I was overly concerned by it. I was really, really scared, and I prayed and prayed and prayed as a child. That was it as far as spirituality for me, and my family weren't very spiritual or religious. And I grew up and I went off the rails, and I ended up noticing when I look back on my life that there were a number of patterns. I seemed to attract a certain kind of guy who didn't treat me the way that I should have been treated. But in actual fact, they were a mirror. They were telling me that I didn't value me. I didn't love me mm-hmm. enough.
Yep.
And so I was attracting the kind of man who didn't love me in the way that I deserved to be treated. So everybody who's come into my life has taught me valuable lessons. But it took getting to the age of 39 and going through a period where, if I'm honest, I was depressed, but I didn't realize it at the time, although I did want to hide under the quilt and just shut the world out.
That's a sign.
Exactly, yeah. The overwhelm is too much. But I couldn't do that because I was running a business and I had staff that would rely on me. And over the years, because of all the traumas that I'd been through, I vowed never to cry. I would not allow people to see me crying. When I learned about the connection between our thoughts and the physical manifestation in the body, and I read up about the symptoms of, I can never say it, Sjögren's syndrome, mm-hmm. dry eyes and dry mouth, my body was basically obeying my thoughts. People will never see me cry. So my eyes became dry. Mm. And the medical profession basically said, if it continues, we'll give you some eye drops. Mm-hmm. They couldn't tell me why it occurred, but they were going to be reactive and treat it. And that wasn't good enough for me. But going back to when I was 39, my whole life started to implode. I had the job, I had the car, I had the house, and I started buying those books like Successful But Something's Missing. Mm-hmm. And there's a spiritual solution to every question or problem. I can't remember the title, but it's Wayne Dyer's book.
Mm.
And I was searching for something. My soul was searching for something. And that snooze button that I'd been hitting on the alarm clock, it stopped working. And the more I tried to hit it, the more the discomfort became, the more painful it was to stay where I was. But I was stuck. Mm-hmm. I didn't have anybody to pull me out. I've always been very independent. And I almost saw it as a sign of weakness back then to accept help from others, because I'd been such a fighter and I'd had to stand on my own two feet from such an early age. It was really difficult to say, I need help. So I kept on wearing the masks. Meanwhile, my body was telling me that it was time to stop wearing the masks and to deal with the emotional trauma that I'd been accumulating over the years. I got quite good at that, Lisa. And so I went to the doctors for a blood test, and they found a thyroid antibody. So the thyroid was attacking, my body was attacking itself. I later went on to train in something called Meta Health, which helps us to understand the root cause of symptoms, what kind of beliefs and emotions and the kind of environments that are contributing to these changes in our bodies. And it's when we're disconnecting from who we truly are, that's when the body starts showing us that we need to take action, that something is out of kilter. And I know now that the thyroid is about powerlessness and helplessness. And being abused by men physically and emotionally over the years, that trauma was still locked in the cells and tissues of my body. Mm. And that was my body's way of saying, there is something here that you need to attend to. Whilst you've been going out and playing the role of professional woman, your personal life is a complete mess. Right. And physically, we can't hold this up anymore. This is too much of a burden. The other antibodies that I had were lupus, which can be potentially fatal if it develops into the disease. Mm-hmm. And it shows up in the joints and the connective tissues. And what I know about lupus and the connective tissues from Meta Health is that it's all about self-worth, self-devaluation. So if you don't feel that you're worthy, if you're not strong enough to stand up to that man or that person who is threatening you, what happens is that your body mirrors your thoughts, your perceptions. And that's why meditation is so, so important, because it helps us to change the relationship with our minds. And it allows us to see our thoughts rather than feeling our thoughts, and then allowing those biological changes to take place in the body. And so I, as I say, at 39 became stuck and I needed guidance. And for me, that was going to mediums. And my sister years ago used to regularly go to mediums, and I would mock her. But at that stage in my life, I needed guidance. And for the first time in my life, I didn't know where to turn. And it was then in a reading that I was told that I was a healer. And I laughed because I was so far removed from faith and spirituality. I was using alcohol to numb the pain, the emotional trauma. And it felt as though I couldn't even heal myself, let alone heal other people. And they said that I was a very powerful woman. But at that stage, at that point in my life, that was the last thing that I felt.
Yeah.
And then over time, help started to come. And I started to get stronger. The beautiful thing about being at the bottom of a pit is that you can't fall any further. The only place is up. And so I clawed my way back up, and it took time, and it took the love of friends. Friends who could say to me, it's okay to let people in, because I decided that it was safer not to be intimate emotionally with people because people would hurt you. That was my belief. And so my life wasn't as rich as it could have been emotionally because of fear, of love. And love is the most powerful thing on this planet. And it makes no sense to try and protect ourselves from those who we think may hurt us. It's just about experience and about the lessons that we're here to learn whilst we're here on Earth, and to keep on opening up to love. And knowing that we are loved, we deserve to be loved. And once we start loving ourselves, then we'll attract those people who will love us for who we are. And so there's no need to be afraid that you'll be hurt, because what we'll be giving out energetically will be attracting those people who will be mirrors of ourselves. And if we are love, if we're self-love, then that's who we'll attract. And so this journey has been a path towards acceptance of myself. And as each new skill, as each new bit of knowledge comes along, I kind of doubt it and go, am I losing my grip on reality? And finally, when I got to a place of allowance and acceptance that it just is, and I put my conscious mind out of the way, because my conscious mind had me in knots for years, for decades, making up stories, hanging on to past pains. Once I was allowed, I allowed myself to be in acceptance. That's when magic happened. That's when I started to own the fact that I have these beautiful gifts that I can pass on to other people. And so for me, the beauty about my journey and all the pain is that I can say to women, I've been there. You'll get through it. And you, if you choose, can reconnect to God, to spirituality, whether you call God consciousness or whatever it is for you, whatever it means for you, you too can find your way back from being disconnected in this society where the kind of things that are valued are capitalism and wearing all these hats and badges of honors. You can go to work even though you're on death's door, but you can just bung yourself full of pills and, you know, prescription over-the-counter drugs, but I made it to work. And that's the kind of society that I no longer want to live in, because if we honor ourselves and we honor our bodies, we allow our bodies the space and time it needs to heal. And that sometimes means calling in sick. That sometimes means putting down that role of mom or carer or savior or whatever roles you play, the multifaceted identities that we all have, it's about laying it down and going, this is time for me first, because if I'm not good, I can't give my all to you.
Yep.
So it's about being selfish and putting yourself first in order to be of service to others who depend on you. Because if you're in the state that I was in 6 years ago, you're no good to anybody.
Yeah, you bring up such good points. And I think, you know, one of the questions I hear is when women are starting to awaken, or when they're starting to, you know, reconnect with themselves and really get in touch, it's that reality shift. It's almost, you know, you were talking about acceptance of what is, and a lot of times it's hard to accept what is when it's so different from what you know as reality, because it's, you know, it's all these things that you question, is it real? Yes. Is this, you know, is it, I'm having these thoughts, I'm seeing these things, but is it real? Maybe I'm crazy. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. I was at the stage of going to the doctor so many times because I started to experience what I now know to be premonitions. And I couldn't wrap my head around the thought, the possibility that I could know things that I knew nothing about. The alternative of going mad was preferable because I had nothing to hang this I just know on. I had no frame of reference whatsoever. And we're raised on this diet of, if science cannot prove it, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
If it's not tangible, it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And so you have this, if you're like me, you have an internal battle going, did I just see, how did I know that before it happened? And dare I tell anybody else about what's going on in my head? And I remember going to see mediums and they'd say, just ask the universe. And I'm like, how do you ask the universe? I have no idea. Or they'll say, spirit, I've given you these ideas through your imagination. And me and my ego was like, no, I've come up with that fabulous idea. I don't think spirit are putting anything in my head. And so it is a huge shift. And there's a lot of challenge and battling between everything that you thought you were and everything that you thought you knew up to that point, and then this whole different reality that isn't based on the reality that you're used to.
Yeah.
And you can't talk to many people about it. I remember walking my dogs in the woods and I'd keep on bumping into the same people, and I thought, oh, this is too much of a coincidence to be coincidental. And I found Carl Jung's work, Synchronicity, and I thought, I'm bumping into them for a reason. And then when a certain thought would come to me, I would ask them about it on a day when I was feeling brave. And it was almost like this secret society of spiritual people. You know, we wouldn't tell other people, but it was like, oh, it's like the Masons, isn't it? It's like that funny handshake. But luckily, there is a shift on the planet and there are more people who are looking for answers that we cannot find in the societies and communities that we've built thus far. There are people who are looking to the churches, and the churches have gone for most people. For others, yes, they'll still go to church, but for people like myself, I wasn't raised on a diet of going to church every single Sunday. I only got that when I went to my auntie's house in Birmingham, which is like 150 miles away. So that was once every few months we had to put on a posh clothes and we had to sit there through boring sermons. So for people like me, where do we go? And spirituality, thankfully, has the answer. You call it what you will, and it lives within all of us. And it's just about letting go of those reins and realizing that we don't have to do everything on our own. We don't have to prove anything in front of the eyes of the Lord. And I'm comfortable talking about the Lord now, whereas before, like I was a reluctant healer, I was reluctant to share his name, to speak his name, because I haven't, for me, I've seen what people who wear the cloak of religion have done in terms of abusing their position, abusing others, And that did not sit comfortably with me at all. As a healer, I don't like to see suffering of any kind, although suffering can also be a choice. A friend of mine who has had cancer twice and has multiple sclerosis, I admire her, she inspires me, and she said, I choose not to suffer through the suffering. So suffering is a choice. That's the viewpoint that I hold now. So talking about God and then thinking about religion didn't sit well for me. But in the context of consciousness and as all being connected, all being one, that's my language. Yeah. And so I can comfortably speak about God and about how we as women who have come to that stage in life where we're feeling that the way that we've been doing it isn't really working and it's leaving us feeling that there's something missing, something lacking. Mm-hmm. Spirituality and reconnecting is the way. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah. And you know, you mentioned something earlier about some of the illnesses that you had. And yeah. It is a gift. It is a gift because these are the things that are calling you out. These are the things that, you know, when you're out of alignment.
Yes.
You have either physical symptoms or emotional symptoms or something's going on where you don't feel right. And that's calling you out. That's calling you up and saying, look at me. There's something else going, there's something going on here that you need to pay attention to. And so if you think of it as a gift, I mean, if you're sick all the time, there's something there, right?
Exactly. And for me, it's a case of, how else are we going to get from where we are, where we're stuck, where we're in a comfort zone, where we're just existing, we're not living, to where we're supposed to be, back on our path?
Right.
And so getting your awareness, because you haven't paid attention to the other signs that you have been sent, whether you want to call it from source, from spirit, from God, you haven't paid attention. We're here to learn lessons. We're also here to fulfill certain roles. And for mine, it's being of service in terms of being a healer. Mm-hmm. And if you keep on ignoring those signs, those waypoints along the way, then they're just going to have to wave bigger flags in front of your face. And then you have a choice.
Yep.
You have a choice to ignore it or to choose a path which takes you further away from that you're supposed to be doing whilst you're here.
And it's more painful.
Always have choice. Exactly. And you know what? The bummer is you're going to end up where you were supposed to anyway, so just take the path of least resistance. That's what I say. But the work of Dr. Lisa Ranking, she talks about, there's a couple of her TED Talks on YouTube, and she talks about how these women came into her clinic and they were successful and they ate healthily. Physically, everything should have been okay, but it wasn't.
Right.
And it's because even though they were working out, they were fitness fanatics, they were putting the right food in their system, and the body is a system. Mm-hmm. Emotionally, they hadn't dealt with their traumas.
Yeah.
Emotionally, what was happening is that they weren't being true to themselves. They'd neglected their spirituality. They'd neglected their emotional health. And it was that mask wearing, that performing, what other people expect of you. And you can't honor your true authenticity if you're playing the roles that other people expect of you.
Yes. Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that's so important. And those are the clients that I see. You know, they come to me because there's something wrong, and they're eating healthy and they're exercising and they can't figure it out. Yeah. So emotions, being in alignment with who you're really supposed to be here on this earth is where we all, you know, that's our path to get exactly back to that place.
And if you think about it energetically, Lisa, to not be yourself requires effort.
Right. Yes.
And energetically, you're suppressing that which is natural, that which is you. And so that's what's creating dis-ease, the discomfort, the dis-ease,
yes,
by not being true to yourself. So it's wonderful that, you know, there are people like you who can help women get back into alignment and show them an easier way, a way where they can be more true to themselves. And it's about bringing other people along in your unit, whether that's your colleagues that you work with, that you may manage, or within the family, your partner. As you change and adapt, it forces other people to make choices. They can either come along with you, or they can say things like, you've changed, Tricia.
Right.
You used to be like this, and now you're different. And then that gives you new choices.
Yes.
But just because you change doesn't mean that other people have to. But if you are a unit, if you're a community, it's about growing and changing and evolving together and supporting each other through that process of evolvement.
And we make ripples no matter where we are, when we're being ourselves, when we're just being our light, then whoever's around us, whether they accept it or not, we're still affecting them.
Of course.
And it's that ripple effect.
And sometimes it may not be a year or 2 years or 10 years, but at some point they'll look at you and go, you seem to have it all together. You seem to just be content and at peace, and I need some of that now. So when people are done resisting and fighting, that's usually when you get the breakthroughs, when they're ready to accept that there is a better way, that you have been inspiring them all that time by just being, by being you and being authentic and being in alignment and in connection to spirit and being that beacon of light that other people need to see. And the great thing is, when you are being, you attract other people energetically.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Gosh, well, this has been super, super interesting. I'm really glad that you came on. I'm glad that we had that little glitch with our technology so that you could come on and talk about what you really want to talk about and what our listeners really need to hear about. So, Tricia, do you have any last words of wisdom for our listeners?
I would say that each morning when you get up, first of all, before you're fully awake, set your intention for the day and just focus in on your heart as you're doing that and give gratitude and thanks.
Yeah.
And just practice a couple of minutes of meditation in the evening as well. It's great if you practice for longer, but just those couple of minutes, couple of times a day, that will help you to strengthen that connection. It will help to carry you through, especially through the bad times. And when the good times are good, they're going to be even better because you're just opening up to the wisdom of the universe. Just be in allowance and accept and receive, and you'll flourish.
I love that. I love that. Thank you so much. And did you want to give our listeners a free gift?
I'm going to give them the balanced breathing exercise
Perfect.
That I was supposed to do for the end bit, but because it's based on ancient wisdom and mixing neuroscience, the old and the new, it will still have a beneficial effect. So I'm going to get that over for your listeners to download if they wish.
Yeah, I think that actually fits very well because it's in the breathing that we become in tune with ourselves. So that's perfect. Well, thank you so much. This has been super fun. I'm glad that you that we got a chance to get on the radio, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Lisa. It's been a pleasure and a joy. Thank you.
You're welcome.
As always, we appreciate you listening to Women Reconnecting, where you get inspired to reconnect with who you really are and create a life that brings you joy. With each episode, we bring you new strategies to feel your best and discover new possibilities for your life. Make sure to listen again as we bring you new and exciting guests that will help you to keep moving forward along your path so you can have fun, play full out, and really feel alive. Until next time, enjoy life.